Wasn't that an inspirational opening to our worship service this morning? A lot of oomph. Thank you so much. That was lovely. Before we begin our service, shall we just bow for a prayer of invocation? Almighty God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, open our eyes, ears, hearts, and our very lives to your presence so that we may worship and serve you in faithfulness, that we may be blessing and healing reminders of your love to all whose lives we touch. We offer our prayers in Christ's name. Amen. Carol is now going to lead us in our first song, number 567 in the blue hymnal, How Firm a Foundation.
Please stand to sing number 567 in the blue hymnal, How Firm a Foundation. This hymn affirms that our faith is rooted in God and God's Word. The tune is an American folk tune, and from my understanding, that comes from the camp meetings they used to have where the basses sang out their three or four or five notes with gusto. So please do that today. Let's sing verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
As a call to worship, I'd like to share the Apostle Paul's prayer to the Ephesian church as we find in Ephesians 3:17-21. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now, glory to God. By his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would even dare to ask or hope. May he be given glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever through endless ages. Amen. Now, would you please turn to number 538, How Great They Are. I think it's in the Brown Hymnal. Carol, please.
Number 535 in the Mennonite hymnal, please stand to sing one of your favorites. I happen to know that. And we will sing verse 1, 2, and 3 again.
Well, as you have heard and seen, we do have some special guests with us this morning. They are the Claussen family, Gerhard, Helga, and Gordian, Natalie, and Joris. Gerhard is a nephew of our Dietrich and Anna Claussen, and they worship in the Springfield Heights Mennonite Church. Special welcome, and thank you very much for your music. Are there any other guests that we could introduce? Anybody that would introduce himself? I beg your pardon? Okay, would you stand up? Welcome. But you are not officially visitors, are you? No, but welcome anyway. And if there are, was there a hand? No, I guess not. If there are no others, then welcome to one and all and that have joined us this morning, and may we all be blessed in word and music. As for the announcements today, I think we can now officially declare spring is here. We hear the Canada geese, and the golfers are out, and all the garage sale signs are up, so it must be spring. Now some more relevant announcements in our bulletin. In the back of your bulletin, you see a special announcement by Church Council. They're asking for our prayer support for the youth program and adults program. And also in the back is of your bulletin is an announcement or a prayer request by the Witness Prayer Net. I think it's a noteworthy request. It says, pray for those who are preparing to graduate from high school and post-secondary schools across the Mennonite Church Canada constituency this spring. May they be receptive to God's grace and leading, confident in their obedience, and inspiring models of faith in Jesus. And then under the coming events calendar, the Friendship Bible Coffee Bible Study will be meeting this Tuesday, and that will be the last session for the season before we go into the summer recess. And after that, we will be going for a wind-up lunch. And then number 15, Sierra House could use some volunteers putting up siding and painting exterior window frames. It could be a lot of fun. If you're interested or if you want to participate, call Norm Roth, as number in the bulletin. And then please take note of number 7 in the bulletin. Those little boxes in the back are not just ornamental. They're there for a purpose. If you want to empty your pockets this morning of any change, feel free to leave it there. It's for to help the people in the community. And number 5 is an invitation for some good music and good fellowship by joining the volunteer choir. The practices will be June the 1st and the 8th at 9:30 a.m. And then we have an announcement on Pentecost. Mitchell Meisner will be baptized in our church. To me, this is the most significant decision, a life's decision, that a person will ever make. Now, to our church family, let us be diligent to uphold all the people that are listed in our bulletin, in our prayers, but not only those that are listed, but also those that are at home, very many of them suffering. Just a reminder that Nathan Klein will be undergoing surgery June the 2nd, and Henry will be going into Bethania Personal Care Home for respite. It's a major move for them, transition. Let us pray for peace, comfort, and strength as they deal with the days leading up to the surgery and the move. And then Erna Martins is going for knee surgery tomorrow. It's always scary to face a surgery. Let us remember her in prayer as well. And number 1, we express our sincere sympathies to Tabitha Bear, Chris Reddick, and family and friends on the passing of Tabitha's father, Lori Fraser, aged 61. May the family in a very real way experience God's presence of comfort and peace. Is there anybody that would care to share some concerns, some joys that they've experienced? In family, community? Oh, okay.
Hi there. I thought I'd give an update on Melanie. As you know, Kim's sister came back from Cambodia and went into a coma and has gradually been getting better. We're very grateful that she, over the last couple of weeks, many things have actually improved. The trach has been capped and she's able to speak and her vocal cords are working normally. So she's certainly happy that she doesn't have to write anything out anymore. And with that, they've checked her swallowing and she's starting to eat. So she's certainly grateful for, the cranberry juice and the apple juice. And it's amazing how small things like that, speaking and eating, which we all take for granted, are such a blessing when you haven't had them for a long time. She's hopeful that actually the trach will come out. Walking is still coming, you know, there's no walking. She's still doing physio, which is very hard for her. There's still a lot of pain in her feet and so on. But again, getting stronger all the time. So we're grateful for your prayers and the visits. Just thought I'd give an update. Thanks.
Thank you, James. Actually, I was going to mention that miracle of healing for Melanie, but thanks for sharing with us. Is there anybody else? If not, let us join our hearts in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Gracious Father, we thank you for who you are, for what you have done for us and what you are doing for us, and what you are willing to do in us and through us. We give you thanks for your many blessings, your guidance, your provision, and your protection. Thank you for your sacrificial love, for your faithfulness, and especially we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. How grateful we are to live in this country where we can gather to worship you without disturbance, to fellowship with each other. We commit the leadership of our country and all countries of the world to your care. Guide their thoughts that the decisions they make will be in the interest of their people. Make them mindful that they are accountable to you for their decisions. We especially ask that the countries where there is so much violence, so much bloodshed, you will give the people the hope and assurance that you will not abandon them. We don't understand why all the calamities, atrocities occur. All we can do is trust you and pray for the people affected. Grant them the courage, the strength to overcome, the hope that you will not abandon them. In a special way, we ask that you guide the thoughts and decisions of the people of the Ukraine as they are in the process of a crucial presidential election. May the outcome be that the righteous spirit wins. Father, you know all our concerns. We ask now that you be with all your children in their suffering, whether in Africa, in volatile political countries, or in our communities. Comfort all who are lonely, battling with anxiety, with depression, or physical health issues. We ask for your healing touch. Where healing, however, is not to be, empower them with your comfort, love, and strength. Those who are ailing and their families, we pray for the people that suffer from natural disasters, whether fire, flood, or tornadoes. Give them the resilience to recover. We thank you now for our congregation, for our leadership, whether it's the administration of church council or the spiritual leadership. Give them vision, give them wisdom, and discernment. We thank you for the many people that work behind the scenes, offering encouragement and comfort without official recognition. Father, we thank you for guiding Mitchell Geisner's decision to become your follower, to receive baptism. Help him to walk in your spirit as he encounters his spiritual journey. Lord, we pray for the people in long-term care. Give them your daily peace, strength, and comfort to endure. You have promised you will never leave us or forsake us, and we claim that promise. We also pray for those who are grieving, whether it's a loss of health, loss of a relationship, loss of a loved one. Let them experience your loving presence in a very real way, and especially we commit Tabitha, Bear, and family to your care. We ask that you answer each prayer spoken for them with strength, peace of mind, and comfort. Now we ask, Father, that you open our hearts and our minds with your Spirit, that we receive your word of truth in faith and love, that by it we may be taught and guided, upheld and comforted, and prepared unto every good word and work to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Now we hear the Clausen family, they will be singing. I believe it's Natalie that will be doing the singing. The chapel. Story time for all the children. Would you please come up? Ingrid White has a story for you, and there's usually many sermons in themselves. So please come up.
Good morning. Oh, dear. Now I've touched it. Hello. It's not on. Hi, what's your name? Good morning. Is it working now? Yes, I think so. Okay, I had a lot of trouble with the story this week. Pastor Gary told me that we were going to be talking about worship, and Mr. White and I had a couple of discussions about what worship actually is, and we asked a few of our... Sorry? Hello? So can you hear me? No. Oh, well, I'll talk in my teacher voice then. So I'll start again. This week I was supposed to be talking about worship, and I didn't really know what worship was. So I asked a couple of my friends, and they all said, well, you go to church and you worship. And I didn't think that was all that there was to it. So Mr. White helped me out. He pulled out a dictionary, and he said it means that you love someone and that you adore them. So then I started to think, okay, how would we show God that we worship and love him? So I think the answer is here this morning. Have we already done some worshiping this morning? We have had some beautiful music, beautiful singing. We've prayed to God. We even had a little boy playing a beautiful little guitar, worshiping in his way. All of us sitting here watching this are also enjoying and worshiping. Now, I have a question for you guys. How do you show someone that you love them? How do you show someone that you love them? Jalen. Helping them when they're sick, that's right. Giving them soup when they're not feeling good. How else do you show people that you love them? Do you spend time with them? Yeah? You're kind to them. What else do you do? Okay, how do you know that people love you? What do people do for you that lets you know that they love you? Rhea. They want to play with you again, spending time. So worship is kind of that. We're showing God that we like to be with him by being here, by coming with him, by singing to him, by helping people. All those things are worship. Do you think worship just happens Sunday morning for 1 hour when we all come to church together? No, you are right. When we love someone, we love them all the time. So even when Mr. White's at work, I still love him. I think about him, and I can't wait to see him again. And when my kids are at school, I think about them, and I can't wait for them to come home and be with me again. When I'm at school, I love the people I'm with, and I can't wait for the day to continue and have more fun. And that's how it's supposed to be with God, too, that we think about him wherever we are, when we hear a song, when we see a tree, when we look at a flower, when the rain comes down. All those things are worship. So, could we bow for prayer? Father, we worship you. We love you. We don't worship you just here in your building. We worship you all the time. Thank you for the lovely world, the multiple gifts that you have given us. Amen. Go back and sit with your lovely families. Bye, guys.
Thank you so much, Ingrid, for the clarification of worship. I think it was a message for all of us. And now as the ushers come up for the offering, the offertory music will be by the Clausen family. Ich bin jung und ich bin frei von der Sündensklaverei. Extolling the freedom that we have from the slavery of sin through Christ. It's ours for the asking. Thank you so much for enhancing our worship service. Actually, Natalie, do you think I could have the lyrics for that song? I tried to find it and couldn't find it anywhere. Thanks. Okay, would you then turn to number 582 in the blue hymnal, Guide Me, O Your Great Jehovah.
Kathy has chose some amazing songs this morning, and it's hard to take out verses, but so we'll sing all of these. Please, just 582, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
I'll be reading the scripture text out of the New Living Bible Translation, and it is Acts 17, verses 22 to 31. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious, for as I was walking along, I saw your many altars, and one of them had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. You have been worshiping him without knowing who he is, and now I wish to tell you about him. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need there is. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand which should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose in all of this was that the nations should seek after God and find their way towards him, and him live and move and exist. As one of your own poets says, we are his offspring, and since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's former ignorance about these things, but now he commands everyone everywhere to turn away from idols and turn to him. For he has a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he proved to everyone who this man is by raising him from the dead. so far the scripture passage. And may God bless the message that Pastor Gary will give us, and based on his word, and guided by the Holy Spirit.
Thanks, Kathy. Well, I really enjoyed the music this morning. And they say that in heaven we're going to learn to play harps. Well, it's a good thing that heaven lasts forever, because it'd take me about that long to play. You guys are amazing. That was great. I'd like to invite you to, you've been sitting for a while. Let's stand and pray before we take a look at God's Word. We thank you this morning, God, for the way that you have invited us to come as your children, to experience new life in you, and to be given the message that bubbles over in our lives as we interact with others. Help us to hear well what is in your word and be willing to live that out in our lives. Amen. So, as Paul went to see the people in Athens, he had an agenda. Now, that agenda started a few years earlier. Paul was essentially the poster child for the faith that he was a part of, Judaism. He was smart, he was talented, he was driven, he was just exactly what everybody loves to have in their church or worship place. And so he's all excited about what's going on within Judaism, and everything changed when he headed down the road one day to capture some more Christians to haul them back. God shone his celestial flashlight down, blinded him for a while, slowed him down, and what essentially happened was he traded in his religion for a relationship. And he said after that, he turned his back on what he'd had. Last week we talked about Philippians chapter 3 verses 8 and 9. Which says, we take a look at what we've had, and I count it all as garbage compared to how amazing it is to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And he did have a lot. He had it all, in fact, and he gave it up to follow the way of God. So he's got this experience, now what? Well, it's so exciting, he just can't handle it. He's got to tell other people, and so he begins a whole new life as a missionary. So he's got these three missionary journeys. On the second one, he's up visiting these churches in Asia Minor. He gets kicked out of a couple of towns because people start listening to him and changing their lives, and nobody likes change. So he got kicked out of Thessalonica and Berea. And while his Silas and Timothy are sort of patching things up with the church, he can't sit still. He's got stuff in him to share. So off he goes to Athens to visit the people there. He walks in and he says something amazing. Everywhere he looks, there are temples and altars and statues to all these gods. And as he's walking around, what catches his attention is the shrine to the unknown God. So we look back at that, and what do we say, right? 2014, we look back at that and say, you know, superstitious people. We would never do that today, right? Do you know that according to the Yellow Pages, there are 442 churches in the Yellow Pages in Winnipeg? There's a bunch more worshiping places, but there's 442. There's three churches for 30 churches. No, let me get this right. I think 30 churches for every red light camera. Put it in perspective. Some of you encountered the red light cameras. Beside all of those churches, which all the different denominations, there are a bunch of mosques, and there are a bunch of synagogues, and there are lots of other worshiping places in Winnipeg. Virtually every corner has got some kind of a temple on it, right? But what about this unknown God thing? Chris Titterton and I went down to a workshop that was led by World Vision, and they were talking about the changing statistics in the church. Fascinating stuff. There's a few sociologists who have been talking to us about how things are changing in the church. People like Reginald Bibby, you might remember that name. He recently wrote a piece called Religion and Spirituality in Canada. And another fella called James Penner, not sure about his background. That's a joke. James Penner, and he wrote a piece called Hemorrhaging the Faith, which was also commissioned by World Vision. In this piece, Hemorrhaging the Faith, what he says is, for every young adult that's currently in the church, if you go back to when they're a child, only one-third of those children are still in church. Two-thirds of the people who are now young adults aren't here. Reginald Bibby, in the piece that I mentioned on religion and spirituality, has some interesting statistics. He says, in Canada, 28% of the people go to church at least once a month. So that's us, right? But there's another interesting piece he adds. He said 65% of the people in Canada say that spirituality is important for their daily life. 50% of people do something about that on a regular basis. So 28% are in church. That means another 22% of the people are doing something about their religious life. They're not here. They're somewhere else doing what? Whatever they can dream up. Maybe they're listening to Charles Stanley on TV. Maybe they're following Eastern spirituality. They're looking for God. You hear where I'm going here? There's almost as many people who are being spiritual outside of the church as inside. They're following the unknown God, looking for God. Something's stirring inside them, and they're looking. Winnipeg, folks, is Athens. That's us. All over the place, there's people worshiping in different ways, trying to follow the way of God, and a whole bunch of people that are doing some worship stuff, they don't even know where it's going, but it's still important to them. Amazing. Amazing. Now, Paul says four things at this point which are really important, at least for me. They're important for me in terms of my faith, and they're important, I believe, for us as a church in terms of talking about where we go. The first thing he says, starting verse 22, he says, I see that you are a spiritual people. Now, I don't know if that hits you. That just sort of stopped me cold in my tracks as I read that. That's not how I grew up. I grew up saying, anybody who doesn't like worship like us is wrong. And we should let them know that. I remember in Bible school learning about different religions, about different things we called cults, even about different denominations. We learned about their history and their founders and their practice, looking for something that was inconsistent in there so we could prove that they were wrong. We're right because they're wrong was almost the theory. And we're running everybody else down. And what does Paul say? Paul says, hey, they are all following that God-given yearning to find God. Everybody who's doing something is looking for God. Do you hear the difference? Phenomenal. And so as I encounter people in the streets, apparently 65% of the people are out there thinking that spirituality is important in their everyday life. I can put an arm around the shoulder and say, hey, we're both looking to find the God who has created us with an inner yearning for him. And right away, instead of being adversarial, we're on the same page. Somebody has described Christianity as one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. We're not better than them. We're the same. We're beggars who are hungry, and we have found a place to get that gives out food. The second thing he says starts in verse 24. And essentially he says, God made the whole world. He doesn't need you looking after him. He'll do just fine, thank you very much. He doesn't need all these fancy churches. And all this elaborate worship stuff that you do. All the ritual. Now, we look back at some of these religions and we say, you know, isn't it crazy? Look at their buildings and they were all poor and look at the ritual they had. Well, slow down, folks. Let's take a look at our own faith. Take a look at what has happened over the last 2,000 years. Some of the most amazing structures have been built in the name of worshiping God. Now, we say, ooh. That's different. Our buildings are there to help us worship, right? That's what they all say. And it's so easy to lose track of what we do. And we fall into saying, this is where God lives. And the ritual is what we do. We put a lot of energy into ritual. Even here in among us humble Mennonites. Do you know how much work goes into a service like this? The Claussen family practiced and practiced, and Kathy worked really hard to put the service together, and Trudy was practicing piano at home, and Carol working on the songs, and I actually worked on the sermon, if you believe that. All of this put together, all this ritual for us to worship. What is at the core of all this? What was at the core of it for Paul? What was at the core of it was relationship. And it's the building and the ritual, as long as we keep our eyes straight, it's not what it's about. If it helps us worship, that's fine. But the focus here, folks, the focus for Paul was, you won't believe the incredible relationship I found. He left a faith that was all put together, had a great temple and piles of people working there and all sorts of stuff. He says, that's not the thing. That's not the thing. It's about relationship. Back to the study I mentioned by James Penner, Hemorrhaging the Faith. He says, the reason, and this seems a little presumptuous for me to be telling, especially the young adults here, why other young adults aren't going to church, so you can come tell me later if I'm right or not. But according to James Penner, so you're arguing with this wonderful sociologist, he said the key reason that young adults quit going to church is because there's a disconnect between this and the actions. We come to church, we hear lots of good stuff, we walk out the door, and there's no interaction between the two. A lot of times in the church, they say, the things that we talk about doesn't pertain to life, and when it does, we don't take it seriously enough to make it part of our life. That's where they're going. It's not the buildings. You know, for those of us who are older, we say, wow, what do young adults want? They want music. Bring the Claussens in every family in every week. But what they want is integrity, is what he's suggesting. The second thing he says, starting at verse 26 and 27, is he says, God has made you, and you need God. That's that inner yearning. Augustine said, that was around 400 AD, he says, it's sort of a prayer. You have made us, talking to God, you have made us for yourselves, and our hearts are not at rest until they find their rest in you. That's it. God has created us with something inside that wants to connect back to God, and we're incomplete without that. I watched a thing on monarch butterflies on TV the other day, and these things, they come from Mexico up and back and take them 3 generations. How do they know? Something wired inside says, you gotta go north. And then when you get there, turn around, you gotta go south. And the same is within us. Something's wired in us that says, something's missing here, folks. Something's missing. Is it a church? No, it's not a church. It's a relationship. Churches are wonderful. Mennonite churches are great. But I don't know if you knew this or not, God's not a Mennonite. He's a Baptist. No, just kidding. We all know he's an Anglican. This is one way being a Mennonite fits with who we are, but our focus is, it's all about God. It's all about a relationship with God, not about being a Mennonite or landing up here. And so what we're doing is we're looking for, Paul says, we're looking for what I found on the Damascus Road, you know, celestial flashlight and all. Relationship with God is what it's all about. There's something inside yearning, and Paul says, found it. Found it in Jesus. The final thing he says has to do again with our relationship with God. He says, God and us are connected. We're connected. Romans chapter 8. Says, when we have the Spirit of God in us and turn around and say, yes, this is a pretty wild paraphrase, but it's in the direction. We experience God's Spirit at work within us, and we receive the Spirit that says, Abba, Father, which is an intimate way of referring to God. We're family. We belong. And Paul says, for all the years that I spent in Judaism, doing the right thing, following the culture, it wasn't there. And finally, I experience new life in God through Jesus Christ. Turning around, there it is. There it is. I'm at home. And there's something inside that confirms, this is it. It's like the monarch butterflies, they finally land up in Manitoba, they say, this is it. They also say that when they get to Mexico. So there's something inside of us, he says, that knows. Once we have experienced Christ, we know. This whole thing kind of reminds me of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. You know the story. The prodigal son belonged in family, but he didn't know it. He didn't know it until he finally left. He said, I gotta blow this pop stand out the door, said a few choice things to his father, took all the cash he could get out of his dad's wallet, and off he goes. What does he discover? Eating pig food. I belong back there. Something inside knew. And he comes back, and it's like, ah. He didn't say that when he left. He said a few other things. But he comes back, and he's home. He's home. That's what Paul experienced. The sad part about that story is, there's the older brother, and in the story, he's sitting in the barn and pouting. Because his dad didn't give him a party. He's the one who's always been there, always done the right thing. Missed the point. Missed the point. And it's easy for us as well. It's easy for us who come to church and we sit in the building and we sing the songs and we smile at our friends and we even go out for lunch with people from here. It's easy to forget what it's about. It's not about religion. It's not about ritual. It's not about being a Mennonite. It is, first of all, about coming home. Experiencing new life in Jesus Christ. Having that, So, where does Paul lead us? For me, three things. One of the things that this means for me is it's an affirmation of my own story. An affirmation of saying, I come here because there's something vibrant that happens. There's something that happens as I come and worship God that affirms within me, I am a child of God. So important. We need to hear the stories of our seniors more often. We should have a sharing time where we bring the mic out there and go row by row and have you share your stories and let our younger people hear, this is what it's about. Next Sunday. No. The second thing that it does is it says there's a value in the church. The church isn't just a place of tradition. The church is a place where the people of God come together to celebrate this relationship they have with God, the relationship that they understand as they share with each other, they help each other grow as they stand shoulder to shoulder. God has made us need each other. There are times when that's really frustrating. But 1 Corinthians 12 makes it clear, we all need each other to grow. And so God says, I'm not going to let you get arrogant and pompous and think you're all that. Yes, you've got something to give, but you need your neighbor. And the third thing it reminds me of is, we have a mandate as a church. Remember Paul bubbling over so it couldn't sit still? Well, that's us. Some of us, it's words. You know, sometimes people go and be missionaries wherever. But for most of us, it's living with integrity. It's taking our relationship with God, allowing it to affect our values and our ethics and the way we speak and the people we interact with, so that if somebody were to put a little spy cam in our living room and play it here on the screen next Sunday, we could sit and smile instead of squirm, which some of us just might do. I mean, there's always Thursday, but we don't take that into account most of the time, right? The church has a mission. May God fill each of us as individuals and us as a church with the message that comes from that inner connection with God, that connection with Jesus Christ that bubbles over in our church and in our community.
Please turn in your hymn books to number 544, the blue hymn books, When We Walk with the Lord. Please stand to sing this. This song essentially says if we want a relationship with God, all we have to do is trust and obey. Let's sing verses 1, 3, and 4.
Now, people of God, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. Amen.
Let's turn to 576, If You But Trust in God. This is a German chorale, and I'm hoping that you know it very well. I'll ask that we sing verse 1 and 4. It definitely talks about the benefits of trusting in God.
Thank you.